Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, December 6, 2018, coming up this hour.
U.S. equity futures tumble overnight with stocks in Europe and Asia following suit.
U.S.-China tensions threaten to flare following the arrest of a Huawei CEO.
OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna to consider production cuts.
Today is the final farewell for former President George H.W. Bush. Plus, a Senate resolution places the Saudi crown prince at fault for the death of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another loss for the Nets. They blew a 23-point lead and fell to Oklahoma City. St. John's with another win to remain undefeated.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And stocks are tumbling around the world after a sharp drop in U.S. futures overnight sent shockwaves through equity markets. It's 5:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 47 points, Dow futures down 458, and NASDAQ futures down 159. The DAX in Germany is down 2.6%, CAC in Paris down 2.5%, so is the FTSE 100. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 1.9%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 2.5%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.88%, yield on the 2-year 2.75%. NYMEX crude oil down 2.9% or $1.51. To $51.37 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $1,242.90 an ounce. The euro $1.1340 and the yen 112.63. And this data check brought to you by PGIM. In the search for Alpha, partner with PGIM, the global investment management businesses of Prudential Financial Inc. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the arrest of a Chinese executive that threatens to ramp up tensions between the U.S. and China. Huawei chief financial officer Wang Zhongmeng is under arrest in Canada. Bloomberg's John Tucker reports.
The CFO of Huawei is now facing extradition to the United States on suspicion she violated U.S. trade sanctions against Iran. She was arrested in Vancouver at the request of U.S. authorities. A bail hearing has been set for Friday. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. The arrest is likely to heighten tensions between Washington and Beijing just days after striking a trade truce. Bloomberg's Karen Lee reports from Hong Kong.
This isn't the first time that Huawei has been looked into by the U.S. for possible sanctions violations. It has asked the company to declare whether it's sending U.S. technology to rogue countries, including Iran, Syria, and even North Korea, maybe violating sanctions by providing these kind of blacklisted regimes with products that use American technology. And that, of course, feeds into one of the greatest divergences at this point between the U.S. and China, which is U.S. concerns that China is involved in intellectual property and technology theft.
News of Meng's arrest is provoking strong protests from the Chinese embassy in Canada, which is demanding the U.S. and Canada free her.
Now, Meng's importance and prominence in China are hard to overstate. That, according to Bloomberg opinion columnist Tim Culpin in Taipei.
She's royalty. I mean, she's really, really important. You know, I don't know how many other ways to stress this to people who ask me about it all day. She is very, very important. And for the U.S. via Canada to go after one of the most important people in China's political and financial circles in the corporate sphere is very, very, very significant. People need to understand that.
Now, Wang Zhongmeng is not only Huawei's CFO, she's also the daughter of the company's founder.
China's currency is weakening on the news, and stocks across Asia tumbled, with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index posting a loss of 1.8%. Bloomberg's Yvonne Mann has more from Hong Kong.
We were already dealing with the trade issues, and now you add another fire to the mix. We saw the likes of the Hang Seng, the large caps in China, and the Nikkei fall some 2%. And it raises the question now, is Huawei the next ZTE? Analysts tell us the ripple effects bigger than what we saw with ZTE, given the fact that Huawei is a national champion in China. In Hong Kong, I'm Yvonne Mann, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Yvonne. And U.S. stock futures are falling sharply following word of the arrest. We get more on that from Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore.
Anyone who's long couldn't avoid kind of feeling the pain overnight. The move down from Wednesday's unofficial close, because it was a U.S. holiday, was 2.5% in those first couple of minutes, which is obviously an exceptionally violent move for the world's largest stock market. So everyone's going to feel the pain. People are going to be dealing with the losses today. But it's important to emphasize that there's not really any directional message to take away from this. Longer term for markets, this doesn't mean as much. Short term, we are seeing more volatility this year, and that means that short term price action has a much greater noise to signal ratio than it did last year. It's just a market which saw more sellers than buyers, I'm afraid.
Now, S&P futures have pared some of their earlier losses, but they're still down 1.8% this morning. Europe's Stoxx 600, meanwhile, is down 2.3%.
We also have a report that China could be behind the massive hack of Marriott International. According to Reuters, a hack of the hotel group may have been an intelligence gathering operation by China's government. The report says private investigators found hacking tools, techniques, and procedures that featured in past attacks attributed to Chinese hackers.
Still, it's not all bad news when it comes to U.S.-China relations. Beijing says it's reached deals with Washington on agriculture, autos, and energy following last weekend's G20 summit. China says it will immediately begin implementing a consensus agreement on those items, though no specific details were given.
We're watching oil tumble this morning as OPEC and its allies meet in Vienna to consider production cuts. Bloomberg's Jessica Summers reports.
Saudi Arabia and other members of the OPEC Plus group have recommended an oil output cut, yet haven't said how large of a reduction it should be. There are reports that Russia is on board as well. The last time OPEC and allies agreed to cut output in late 2016, they reduced production by a combined 1.8 million barrels a day. I'm Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jessica, thank you. Right now, NYMEX crude oil is down 2.9% at $1.50 to $51.39 a barrel. And Brent is down 2.8% on $1.75 to $59.79 a barrel. Again, futures tumbling. S&P futures down 48 points this morning. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr and find out what else is going on in the world. Good morning, Michael.
George H.W. Bush is going to his final rest in Texas. The 41st president will be buried today at his family plot on the presidential library grounds at Texas A&M University in College Station. He will be buried alongside wife Barbara Bush and daughter Robin, who died at age 3. The country said a formal goodbye yesterday in a national funeral service in Washington. Former President George W. Bush choked back tears at the end as he eulogized his father during the state funeral.
Your decency, sincerity, and kind soul will stay with us forever. So through our tears, let us know the blessings of knowing and loving you, a great and noble man, the best father a son or daughter could have.
6 U.S. senators introduced a non-binding resolution that asserts Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was complicit in the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Senators are trying to reach agreement on a stronger bipartisan response. Italy's budget is now in the hands of the country's parliament while negotiations with the European Union continue. Bloomberg's Kevin Costello has more from Rome.
Lawmakers are expected to call a confidence vote soon as part of the process of passing Italy's 2019 spending package. The proceedings are being closely watched by the European Commission, which says Italy must trim its budget for next year. Both sides say the climate for their budget talks is improving, though no one is predicting what the outcome will be. In Rome, Kevin Costello, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The search right now for several U.S. Marines who are missing after a mid-air collision of a tanker plane and a fighter jet during a training flight off the coast of Japan continues. The Marine Corps has confirmed that two survivors have been found. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says New Jersey Transit has launched a new communications initiative aimed at improving the customer experience.
Getting this done will ultimately remove a major cause of delays, of cancellations, of headaches, not to mention improve, obviously, passenger safety.
Rail passengers routinely complain that trains arrive late or not at all with little or no warning. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, these are tough times for the Brooklyn Nets. They lost their eighth game in a row last night, had a 23-point lead, and still fell to Oklahoma City, 114-112. Paul George, 47 points for the Thunder. His three-pointer with 3 seconds left won the game for OKC. Easy win for Golden State back in Cleveland. First time since they won last year's championship, 129-105 over the Cavs. 42 points for LeBron James. The Lakers pass San Antonio, 121-113. Showdown in the East, and Toronto improved to an NBA best 21-5, 113-102 over Philadelphia, ending the Sixers' four-game winning streak. St. John's is 8-0 for the first time since 1990, 85-71 over still winless Mount St. Mary's. The games will get tougher for the Red Storm next month in the Big East, but still, St. John's off to a great start. A couple of local games. Hofstra, a two-point win over Monmouth. Stony Brook won 69-62 at Manhattan. Gonzaga is ranked number one in the country and stayed undefeated, 81-79 over Washington. Easy win for Duke over Hartford. Battle of Philadelphia, Villanova 69, Temple 59. Baseball trade, Paul Goldschmidt goes from Arizona to St. Louis. The Cardinals pick up the six-time All-Star first baseman. Sam Darnold hoping to return to the Jets lineup on Sunday. He was at practice. Landon Collins, season-ending shoulder surgery for the Giants. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. And in hockey, the most valuable franchise in the NHL is the Rangers again for a fourth consecutive year, according to Forbes. The New York team tops the annual list of franchise valuations at $1.55 billion, up 3% from last year. Toronto Maple Leafs are second most valuable on the Forbes list, followed by the Montreal Canadiens. Futures tumbling this morning with S&P futures down 46 points. Dow futures negative 446. NASDAQ futures down 154. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports report brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are tumbling this morning. European Asian shares slumping while treasuries advance and the dollar edges higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 48 points this morning. Dow futures down 457 and NASDAQ futures down 155 or 2.3%. The DAX in Germany is down 2.3%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32nds, yield 2.88%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.75%. NYMEX crude oil down 3.1% on $1.65 to $51.26 a barrel. COMEX gold little changed at $12.42.40 an ounce. The euro at $1.13.35 and the yen 112.71. It is a busy day for economic data at 8:15 Wall Street time. We get a look at private payrolls from the ADP Research Institute. At 8:30, it's the weekly report on initial jobless claims and the trade balance. At 8:45, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. Then at 10, factory orders and durable goods orders, as well as a report on the service industry. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The body of former President George H.W. Bush is back in Houston, Texas, after yesterday's state funeral at the National Cathedral in Washington. Another funeral service will be held this morning for friends and family members before the 41st president is laid to rest at his presidential library. Six U.S. senators introduced a non-binding resolution that asserts Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was complicit in the murder of columnist Jamal Khashoggi. The proposed resolution says Prince Mohammed was in control of security forces at the time of Khashoggi's murder and that the Senate has a high level of confidence that the prince was complicit in the killing. In the NBA, the Nets lost to the Thunder 114-112. The Warriors and Wizards were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 519 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're joined on this Thursday morning by Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco. Thanks, as always, for joining us, Christina. As Karen mentioned, equity markets are deep in the red this morning. Obviously, the arrest of Huawei's chief financial officer is top of mind. But if that's what's sparking the sell-off here, that's a heck of a move on the news.
Well, because it has a deeper meaning, right? We had hoped for some kind of at least short-term resolution to the growing trade tensions, and this just signals that the gloves are off and that, in fact, this could get a lot worse much more quickly.
At the same time, though, we did hear from a spokesman for the Chinese government saying that they're full of confidence that a trade pact is possible within the 90-day window. They're talking about agriculture, energy, cars. Doesn't that give something of a counterpoint to what's going on in Canada?
There is certainly a glimmer of hope, perhaps a few glimmers of hope, but the reality is that the market overreacted to news that there was much more progress made in the trade deals than there was. And so that outsized reaction was then accompanied by an outside reaction to the downside when we heard that things didn't get as far as was expected. And then, of course, this just adds a lot of pressure, downward pressure on stocks, because it sets us back a few steps.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point you're making. I mean, it does seem as though the markets have really been whipsawed by all the back and forth news, depending on who you're listening to in the trade dispute. How do investors sort of find clarity amid all this?
Well, what I think investors need to focus on are those actual material developments, as opposed to hearing the rhetoric around the trade situation. Yes, this Huawei arrest is concerning, but the reality is we haven't actually seen any kind of application of additional tariffs. So we can't panic based on what we've heard thus far. We also can't overreact positively based on what we've heard thus far. But we can use these wild swings and market moves to offer opportunities for entry points for those who don't have enough exposure, perhaps, to certain areas of the market.
All right. So where do you see some of those buying opportunities, perhaps?
Well, certainly U.S. tech has taken it on the chin at times, and so that offers opportunities, as well as Chinese technology. Beyond that, though, this is just an opportunity as we end 2018 to get our ducks in a row, to be well diversified within equities, within fixed income, and have adequate exposure to alternatives. And so this is a more comprehensive and broader opportunity than just picking up sell-offs in the stock market.
Amid all this, what's your outlook for 2019? Are trade tensions still going to be in the 40, you think?
Absolutely. I think we're in store for a bumpy ride because we know this situation is not going to be easily resolved and that we are going to continue to be in a scenario where we take one step forward and then we take one step or even perhaps two steps back. So that's going to add to volatility. But actually, the overarching force, really increasing volatility and lowering correlations, is going to be the continued removal of Fed support. That normalization process is going to normalize capital markets. Now, that's not a bad thing, but investors aren't accustomed to the kind of volatility we had pre-2007, the lower correlations we had. I do believe that opens up opportunities, though, and in fact, that's where returns will come from in 2019. We're likely to see modest asset class returns, and it's that alpha that should help investors increase their returns.
In our last 30 seconds here, Christina, do you think that return to normalization is going to come sooner than the Fed has signaled up to now?
I don't think so. I think this is going to be a gradual process, and I'm certainly encouraged by the Fed's reiteration that it remains data dependent. And so, like a vigilant lifeguard, it will sit on the sidelines and watch the data, and at times may pull back from normalization because the data doesn't look as good. So I think that that should remain a comfort to markets, and certainly is to me.
All right. Well, we'll hold on to the Dramamine amid the choppy seas. Christina Hooper, Chief Global Market Strategist at Invesco, thanks as always for the insights and taking a look at the markets. At the moment, they continue to plummet with S&P futures down 47 points right now, Dow futures down by 445, and NASDAQ futures are down by 156 points. That's a loss of 2.3%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCF's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy. Open a JCF fund now to lock in a 2018 tax deduction. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks are falling around the world over the arrest of a Chinese executive threatens to reignite U.S.-China tensions. Dow futures are down more than 400 points, and stocks in China and Hong Kong slid more than 2% after the arrest of the chief financial officer of Huawei Technologies. Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports.
This arrest was made in Canada on behalf of the U.S. so that Meng could be extradited to face charges in New York. The Chinese embassy in Canada said that this arrest is a violation of its citizen rights and demanded that the U.S. and Canada free Wang Xiaoming. The big risk here now is that this arrest threatens to possibly reignite the tensions that we've seen between the U.S. and China so soon after what some might argue is a bit of a reprieve.
And as Bloomberg's Christine Burke reports, Wang Xiaoming is not only Huawei's CFO, she's also the daughter of the company's founder.
Meanwhile, the government in Beijing says China and the U.S. have reached agreement in the sectors of agriculture, autos, and energy, which will be implemented immediately.
Crude trading lower as core OPEC members gather in Vienna to hash out production cuts. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil down 4.3%. Down $2.27 at $50.65 a barrel. Brent is down 4.4%. It's at $58.90.
Here in the U.S., we get two readings on the labor market before tomorrow's jobs report with data on ADP private payrolls and government figures on jobless claims out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time.
Half a dozen companies in the S&P 500 report earnings today, including Broadcom. Here with a preview, Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Bloomberg Intelligence says the semiconductor company will likely focus on the potential benefits of its acquisition of CA Technologies and not so much on challenges and reported challenges for smartphone unit growth. Analysts predict Broadcom will post an adjusted profit of $5.56 a share on revenue of $5.4 billion. Top-line estimates for Broadcom's next quarter have increased in recent weeks. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jeff, thanks. The leaders of some of the biggest tech companies, including Microsoft, Google, and IBM, will be at the White House today to talk about emerging innovations such as artificial intelligence.
And Lam Research, a maker of equipment used to manufacture semiconductors, says it fired CEO Martin Anstice after an investigation into allegations of workplace misconduct. Again, S&P futures are lower this morning, down 49 points. Dow futures down 474. NASDAQ futures down 162. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr and find out what else is going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Former President George H.W. Bush will be buried today. The 41st president will be laid to rest at his family plot on the presidential library grounds at Texas A&M University in College Station. His final resting place is alongside wife Barbara Bush and daughter Robin, who died of leukemia at age 3. Yesterday, former President George W. Bush choked back tears, eulogizing the best father a son or daughter can have at his father's state funeral in Washington.
And in our grief, let us smile knowing that Dad is hugging Robin and holding Mom's hand again.
Several members of Congress are pushing to put pressure on Saudi Arabia regarding the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Six senators have introduced a non-binding resolution that asserts Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was complicit in the murder. Senator Marco Rubio is one of those sponsors.
There is no way, and I mean no way, that 17 people that close to the Crown Prince get on a charter airplane, fly into a third country, murder someone in a diplomatic facility, and fly back to Saudi Arabia, and he not at least know about it, much less perhaps be involved in it.
Now, this is a bipartisan attempt to move towards sanctions against Saudi Arabia in light of the Trump administration's stated inclination not to do so. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Saudi-funded lobbyists reportedly paid for 500 rooms at President Trump's D.C. hotel within a month of the 2016 election. According to the Washington Post, the lobbyists were reserving large numbers of D.C. area hotel rooms as part of a campaign that offered U.S. military vets free trips to Washington and then sent them to Capitol Hill to lobby against a law the Saudis opposed. The lobbyists who ran the trips say they chose President Trump's hotel strictly because it offered a discount from that rate and had rooms available to not curry to favor President Trump. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio's office is looking into the city marshal program, and one marshal reappointment is on hold. The announcement comes a week after Bloomberg News reported that predatory lenders are using some marshals to legally drain customers' bank accounts. Global News 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. It is 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update brought to you by Investors Bank. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, the Nets haven't won a game since November 20th, haven't won one at home since November 4th. Eight straight losses, eight straight at home last night, blew a 23-point lead. Oklahoma City won the fourth quarter by 20, won the game 114-112 on a Paul George three with 3 seconds left. He poured in 47 points for OKC. Russell Westbrook had a triple-double and then some. 21 points, 15 rebounds, 17 assists. Coach of the Nets, Kenny Atkinson.
Of course, we're down now, and it's a darn shame because I thought we played a hell of a game. I thought we played a heck of a game. We knew the storm was coming. You know, they're too good. They're playing too well. You knew it was coming. You know, the regrets is, you know, not holding on to a 20-point lead, and it's just frustrating now because our guys did a lot of good things out there.
A night where both LeBron James and Steph Curry went for 42 points. LeBron and the Lakers win over San Antonio. Spurs in danger of missing the playoffs, first time since 1997. Curry in a Golden State win at Cleveland. Toronto improved to an NBA best 21-5 with a win over Philadelphia. Kawhi Leonard scored 36 for the Raptors. Jimmy Butler had 38 for Philly. College hoops, St. John's 8-0, best start since 1990, 85-71 over Mount St. Mary's, who's still winless. Marvin Clark led the Red Storm, 21 points. He had 4 3-pointers. The Hawks of Monmouth are 0-10. They won 27 games 2 years ago, beaten by Hofstra 75-73. Justin Wright, Foreman, 30 points of the Pride. Sixth straight win for Stony Brook, 69-62 at Manhattan. Top-ranked Gonzaga, now 9-0, scored with a half-second left, 2-point win over Washington. For the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. The cover is on shady loans bankrupting America's small businesses. Also in this week's issue, why the U.S. housing market is starting to lose momentum. Prashant Gopal wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
It's a huge change, right? All of a sudden, in some of these very hot markets, buyers are, you know, a hot commodity. And that's really the big change.
And you can read more about that change and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Let's check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning, Ed.
Morning, Nathan. Deborah Perlman, CEO of Revlon, and her father, Ronald Perlman, chairman of McAndrews and Forbes and Revlon's controlling shareholder, are donating $65 million to Princeton University. It's the lead gift to establish a new residential college at the school. New York could have a new reason to legalize cannabis. It could help save the subway. New York Times says some state and city leaders are discussing the idea of making recreational marijuana legal and using the money to pay for badly needed and expensive subway upgrades. Connecticut's Public Utilities Regulatory Authority has designated Dominion's Millstone nuclear reactor as being at risk. Now that allows the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection to grade Dominion's bids not only on price, but on economic and environmental benefits the plan provides to the state. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
All right, Ed, thank you. It is 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Texas is considering new restrictions on how shale explorers dispose of wastewater.
I'm Andrew O'Day on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about the first ever minimum wage for Uber and Lyft drivers.
I'm Steve Podesk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're talking about strong quarterly results but a mixed outlook for the holidays from retailer Five Below.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Britain's decision to suspend its visa program for the super rich.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about the for-profit college chain Education of America abruptly closing dozens of locations across the country.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting GM CEO Mary Barra says the future of the Lordstown, Ohio assembly plant depends on the outcome of labor talks.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Looking at the markets this morning, it's a sea of red with S&P futures down 43 points or 1.6%, Dow futures down 413 points, NASDAQ futures down 148, that's a drop of 2.2%. Oil, steep declines with Brent crude down $2.67, a loss of 4.4%. $58.88 a barrel for the international benchmark. This is Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Marks Paneth LLP. Marks Paneth accountants and advisors have helped closely held and family businesses reach their goals for over 100 years. And Marks Paneth, success is personal. Learn more at markspaneth.com/success.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are tumbling this morning. European and Asian shares slumping while treasuries advance and the dollar edges higher. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 47 points, Dow futures down 442, NASDAQ futures down 161. The DAX in Germany is down 2.3%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 2.89%, yield on the 2-year 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil falling 4.25%, down $2.27 to $50.65 a barrel. COMEX gold is little change, down 80 cents to $12.41.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.13.28, and the yen, 1.12.77. A busy morning for economic data at 8:15 Wall Street time. We get a look at private payrolls from the ADP Research Institute. At 8:30, it's the weekly report on initial jobless claims as well as the trade balance. At 9:45, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index, then at 10, factory orders and durable goods orders, as well as a report on the service industry. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, mourners waited for hours to see former President George H.W. Bush lying in repose in Houston after a private service with friends and family. The 41st president will be laid to rest later today at his presidential library in College Station, Texas. Yesterday, a state funeral was held in Washington. Six senators led by Republican Lindsey Graham introduced a non-binding resolution that would fault Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman for the murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Texas is considering new restrictions on how shale explorers dispose of wastewater from oil drilling as earthquakes rattle the state. In the NBA, the Nets blew a 23-point lead, lost to the Thunder 114-112. The Warriors and Wizards were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio. Studios, and it's 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Jennifer Ryan joins us from our London bureau. She's Bloomberg Opinion editor. And Jen, it certainly hasn't taken long for our Bloomberg Opinion writers to weigh in on the arrest of Huawei Technologies' chief financial officer. Tim Culpin's calling this the dog that caught the car. What's he mean by that?
Well, like the dog that catches the car, the U.S. needs to decide what it wants to do next. With Huawei finally being fingered for alleged sanctions busting, and this is a charge that the U.S. has already leveled at its compatriot ZTE Corp., the Department of Justice and the Trump administration have an important question to answer. What do they want out of this? But Tim Culpin said they've got this ham-fisted approach to punishing, forgiving, and then re-punishing ZTE. And they must not repeat this trick if the government wants to be taken seriously.
Yeah, we've certainly heard the comparisons between Huawei and ZTE. Remind us of the background of what happened with ZTE.
Yeah, the company was caught breaching U.S. sanctions on selling equipment to Iran, and it apologized and was let off with a fine. It didn't take long for ZTE to break that deal. It was hit with another ban, but then it wriggled out of that one. And Culpin asks, what does the U.S. really ever get out of that ZTE case but find beyond a few extra dollars that the company paid in fines?
So in the case of the CFO arrest of Huawei, I mean, Culpin is sort of saying that we could have seen this coming?
Not so much that you could have seen this particular arrest coming, but this kind of development. But he says this is a much bigger deal because Huawei is China's most important technology company. It's a national hero. So this really highlights the U.S.'s sledgehammer approach to its dealings with China. I mean, Culpin says, you know, a sledgehammer might perhaps work for a trade imbalance, but it's a really poor way to tackle the ongoing theft of U.S. technology. So with Huawei, if the U.S. simply issues a very big fine, then Beijing's going to be laughing, because China's pretty happy to spend money to achieve President Xi Jinping's vision of a technologically independent superpower.
All right, then. So apart from a fine, what does Culpin think the U.S. should do?
Well, it's got to move forward with plans to set up stricter protocols in what it will allow China to buy and be sure not to water them down so as to create loopholes of the kind that allowed ZTE to wriggle out of it. Because the U.S. now has a golden opportunity to change the way China steals technology and the way it deals with it. Doing anything less makes this chase little more than a charade.
All right. And talking perhaps of golden opportunities, Alex Webb has a look at how 5G carriers could turn a Huawei ban to their advantage. I guess he's looking at a move by BT Group to remove some of Huawei's gear from its network core. But hadn't the UK government not put in place a ban on Huawei equipment?
You're right, they hadn't, but Webb says it still makes sense for carriers to take a hard look at what they've got at the core of their gear. And if they've got Huawei, they might consider continuing with that. Because if you've got U.S., Australia, and New Zealand actively banning the equipment and other governments looking at it, at the very least, it's going to be hard for carriers to secure lucrative government contracts if they are using Huawei gear that is being deemed insecure.
Yeah, I mean, BT's decision would be a costly one, right?
That's right. And it comes at a very tricky time because as a 5G carrier, you know, the next generation of mobile networks requires two sets of spending. First, in the auctions for spectrum rights, and secondly, to install new equipment to upgrade the network itself. So the spending on Huawei's equipment comes as BT's already having to lay out for the spectrum rights.
All right. So in about 30 seconds here, how can telecom carriers take advantage of any ban on Huawei equipment?
Well, this speaks to the second part of spending that they need to do. And carriers can say to governments that kicking out an important player like Huawei can make it more expensive for them to build their 5G networks. And this can give them ammunition to push back against governments potentially overcharging on spectrum prices at these auctions.
Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan, thanks as always for joining us from our London bureau on Bloomberg Daybreak. And you can read more about these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion. Just head over to Bloomberg.com/opinion. You'll find them there. And Bloomberg Terminal customers can find insights from our Bloomberg Opinion writers. Just type in O-P-I-N. Go. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
South Dakota Republican Senator John Thune says the Senate is working on a skinny version of a lame duck tax bill that would extend temporary tax breaks and include some retirement provisions. Target will pay $7.4 million to settle allegations it illegally dumped thousands of hazardous waste items such as electronics and pharmaceuticals into landfills in California. And Michigan will have the lowest tax rate in the country on recreational marijuana. Other states newer to the market have also moved toward lower taxes amid rising competition from both states and the black market.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's take a closer look at Special Counsel Robert Mueller advocating for a lenient sentence for former National Security Advisor Michael Flynn, saying he should avoid time in prison because he provided significant help to investigators in the Russia probe. For more on this story, June Grasso speaks to Jordan Rubin, an editor for Bloomberg Law.
What did we learn about Flynn's cooperation from the sentencing memo?
Flynn has been cooperating with Mueller when it comes to information about the very closely watched transition period before President Trump started in the White House. And that time period has raised a number of questions, including dealings with the ambassador that really underlied Flynn's initial plea. But there's other aspects of the memo which are completely blacked out. And so we have no idea exactly, at least from a public reading of the memo, exactly what type of information Flynn has provided Special Counsel Mueller. All we know is that it's been so good and so complete, according to the Special Counsel, that Mueller is recommending such a lenient sentence here.
So should potential targets have a cause for concern here?
Well, that's certainly possible. It really depends on what exactly is behind that redacted information. But even before getting to that, simply what's been made public, the fact that Mueller has announced that Flynn has been explicitly and completely cooperating when it comes to that transition period, that alone could cause concern, say, for President Trump or Jared Kushner, given the questions that have been raised about their conduct during the transition period. So even before getting to the redacted aspects of the memo, the fact that certain information has been made public, and even just that public information could be enough cause for concern for Kushner, Trump, and possibly other people as well.
So what about all the expectations that the Mueller investigation is coming to an end?
It seems that that possibility is raised often, but here we are still a year and a half after Mueller's appointment, and it's certainly possible that it's going to come to an end soon, but it's also still possible that Mueller has a lot of work to do, given all the information that we still don't know. Perhaps one of the main takeaways from the Flynn memo is really we don't know what Special Counsel Mueller is doing, and so there's really no way to say right now that the investigation is coming to a close. All we can really say is that it's certainly made a lot of progress in a short period of time.
And that was Jordan Rubin, editor at Bloomberg Law, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio, and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Futures this morning are lower. S&P futures down 46 points. Dow futures down 440, NASDAQ futures down 159, 10-year Treasury up 5/32, the yield 2.89%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.76%. NYMEX crude oil is falling 4.6%, down $2.42 at $50.46 a barrel, and COMEX gold is little changed, down $1 to $1,241.60 an ounce. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.